Okay, can we start? Good. Thanks for coming here so late today. As I heard, the bock beer season has started here, so so I'm really happy to see people here. I speak today about Acer Search. Our program is actually pretty simple. I go through some search topics in the beginning, and then let's play with code and real Acer search service. My name is Gunnar Peipmann. I am ASP.NET MEP, although I have around half of my time at work goes also to SharePoint projects and to some unexpected tasks that nobody else wants to take. Usually the tasks where, you know, people have lost all their hope already. So now let's focus first to search technologies that Microsoft has built over time. Well, perhaps the most popular one is a desktop search we are using on our Windows boxes. This technology is also the one that makes our Outlook email search very fast if we allow indexing of our mailbox, by example. But if we are talking about nowadays applications, websites, mobile apps, and so on, then well, we cannot easily use this kind of search for data that is located somewhere else. Of course, we can do it, but it will be probably interesting proof of concept solution that will never be used in live environments. So, also, Microsoft has Bing as a search technology, but this is now for public data available in web. We cannot do much about how Bing is crawling websites and how it is indexing these. Of course, we have also enterprise search as a part of SharePoint platform. If I think about startups, then I'm more than 100% sure that a startup doesn't go and put up a SharePoint enterprise farm to have a search functionality. Actually, although these search technologies provided with SharePoint, they are very advanced. Users can do a lot of things and administrators, but the price is also very high. So now neither of these technologies actually are very good fit for our regular search scenarios. So now this is why Microsoft came out with Azure Search Service. So we can, so we have some simpler search backend than, by example, SharePoint. Now, what we can do with a search service? Okay, we can add there our own search indexes. We can build indexes like we want. The search service is well scalable. It also survives scenarios like some popular website where users search mostly data. Let's say a site like online shop with a lot of products. There people usually use search. I know there are also navigation people, but they have also limits. You, I'm sure that, for example, on Amazon website, even those people who are eager to navigate, click through links, they vote for search because it's a way faster way how to get the data. So if you happen to write code on platform where search API is not available, you have no libraries, then search has a pretty simple REST-based API. So I am, for example, using this REST-based API also in a sample application here, because the full-scale library by Microsoft is not available yet for ASP.NET Core. Now, as a search service works with a REST-based API, you can use it from different applications. You can use it from mobile applications. It can be a website. You can also use practically JavaScript to use Search API. So it doesn't have to be necessarily C# code running in web server. And for smaller scenarios, there are available free package. It has a limit of 10,000 documents in index. Under document, Microsoft means some item in a search index. It is not a document like Word document or PDF file. So, and for small scenarios, there is also a cheap package available, something little over 80 euros per month, but it supports up to 1 million documents. So, of course, there are bigger packages too, but they are much more expensive, and let's not focus on so sad things today, okay? Now, if you ask, what is this Azure search internally? It's practically Elasticsearch brought to cloud. So it is Elasticsearch is built on Lucene document database, and Azure Search, as we see it in APIs, it is practically Microsoft built layer that is on top of Elasticsearch. So don't be happy, it is not cloud-hosted Elasticsearch, because you don't have any access to Elastic's own search features. You have to use this search API. So, but it's perhaps interesting thing to know. Now let's go through those search service features. Okay, I have here search one simple search index opened, and I also try to find sample site. Okay, so this is how our simple search looks like on Azure portal. So if we want, we can always we can always start clean. There is one trick on building search indices. I take products one. When you're creating index, then don't make any mistakes, because after saving your index, you cannot remove and rename fields anymore. If you want to do it, you have to delete index and create it again. In my own experience, well, when this search service is new for you, then you screw up index multiple times. So if you once created it successfully, you can just save down the JSON format of this index definition, and you can later you can use even some let's say browser plugins to make a call to search API and give, and then you can give your index JSON with it. So it's way faster than after every screw up to sadly delete the whole index and then start building it again. Now if I click here, so here you can see the fields. Creating it manually multiple times is also error prone in a key of those checkboxes. I often forgot to to make a check in some box, and then I had to delete index again. So I was in the end, I was so pissed off, I just took this JSON definition from Search API, and they just held it somewhere. So if something happens, I don't have to waste time on inserting all the field names again and checking those checkboxes. But if you want to add new fields, then this is possible. It's not a problem. Now, for fields, you can specify how the given field is used by a search service. So here, retrievable means that the given field can be part of search results. Here I have, by example, a description field that is not returned with search results. This is unlimited length text, and there is no context in a search scenario for this field. It's also possible to say that that field is filterable, so we can apply different filters on a field. It's all and here are also sorting and facet table. So this facet table means that we can add some kind of static filters. I open Visual Studio soon, and then you will see what it is and how it works. So here is my sample application. So although box season is going on, and you are sadly here, I thought that perhaps you like a demo site like this. So now this site is actually using also Azure Search Search service. Now, let's take first feature. It is called the faceted navigation. Facets are, in a very simple language, these nice left side blocks where you can filter, for example, a product index. So. Here, oh my God! Oh, here, by example, this range slider is a sample of one facet. Availability is not implemented yet, but I can drag here, and then I get pairs in a given alcohol content range. So, if you ask me how this search thing works works in code level, well, I built a simple REST client, because the application, the demo application, is built on ASP.NET Core, and the search API library is pretty big. So without having more knowledge about how to port this library to new ASP.NET or new .NET Core, well, it would be too much work. But building up simple URLs and making HTTP requests, this is something I can do a lot faster. So here you can see how actually I have a pretty simple methods here where that just build up URL. So sometimes I can give also body to it, and in a code, I have a simple search service defined, and this search and I can, by example, run queries against this search service. Why now, if you ask me, why I use some kind of fancy interface for search service? It's possible that you start with a search not by using Azure service. You start with a simple SQL search to your database. But database actually is pretty expensive anymore to have, because the more and more data you have, the more and more resources it wants, and so on. You have to scale up database. It doesn't matter if you have it in-house or is it running on a SQL Azure service. Database is more expensive. So sooner or later, you just start wondering if there is some other way how to make search work. And you know, if you first defined an interface, then it's very easy for you to write new implementation and switch over when this new implementation is stable enough for using in live scenarios. Now here in a sample site, here actually searching works. Let's say whoop. Now it was done by search service. It wasn't it didn't went through the database. And I comment out the code that is indexing everything. And now let's see what is the data looks like. Okay, I add also one search term here. It is not required. You can easily leave search term empty, and then you get still results back, but their order is not doesn't have much meaning. Okay, I make it a little bit bigger, because some guys are a little scared of me and they're somewhere back there. So you should see now fine back row. You see code? Oh, super. So okay, let's put the breakpoint here. And now let's run this little piece of query, search query. I'm using a query object here that is universal for the whole system, so it doesn't matter much if I'm using SQL or Azure Search. So, okay, I got back here one nice strongly typed search result. So and let's see if I okay, I didn't output here anything, but let's see for a moment also JSON that is returned. Okay, so I add breakpoint also here, and let's see what is a search service giving us back. If you have okay, so response body, and here is a JSON visualizer, so it is a. If I click these results open, then you can see what was given back. So we have some kind of a search results object in JSON. It's up to us how we treat it. Do we want some class for this kind of response, or perhaps we are using let's say Newtonsoft JSON library, and we just take these values out from response, so we don't have any actually any response holder class. But if you are working with paging, then as you can see here, you don't get away so easily. So this search stuff actually also supports paging, and information about paging is in hierarchy, it is on the same level with this values block. So, but actually, as you can see, it's not nothing complex. So, I am using here Newtonsoft JSON library, so I can easily take JSON I got, and if something didn't went wrong, then I just deserialize it back to a class structure. For example, here is a class for product search response, and here you can see the same count that was present in JSON. So now, what is also one interesting thing about search? We have to support also those users who have not much idea what they want or how they want it. So perhaps we are working in some more complex domain. There are also people who want to search from our site, but they have not much idea what to insert. So now Azure Search supports a nice feature called suggestors. Suggestor is actually it is actually a special type of query to search index. It doesn't give us so much back whole results of about the index content, but it gives us back suggestions for user. So try to search something like this. For suggestors, so these suggestors are actually pretty simple thing. So I leave a breakpoint here, so it's okay. So here I don't ask any suggestions. Let's see if okay, here I have a method for suggestions, and let's add here. Let's try again with Castel. Oh, it does. Oh, yes, it wants curing. Of course, it works in curing context. Stupid me. Okay, I leave it like it is. Here we have. Let's have a breakpoint again here. And now let's see what these suggestions now look like. Okay, so JSON visualizer. So it gave us back four suggestions. Oh, it is still giving a whole bunch of things, as I see. Yep. Well, the idea is we can tell users what kind of things they can. They can search from our index. I don't see here. Okay, let's take one scoring profile. Okay, these suggestions currently, if I'm correct, they are still using some kind of default one. But this is something that can be pretty usual. I don't give back. Those good suggestions because I have small index. You know, I, as a family guy, I can't spend my evenings by building up a big peer index because other people around me want also my attention, you know. But if the index is big enough, then yes, you get you start getting back a pretty good results. Now there is a thing called tag boosting. Tag boosting is nice thing to have. So we can add tags to our products, and with a, and when we make a search, we can say that okay, I want to use this type of scoring profile with these tags. So now, if product has a given tag, then it boosts up product's priority in search results. So in our case, let's suppose we have let's suppose we want. We want some strong pairs to be suggested to user first. So suppose we have a user who is eager to drink abnormally strong pairs, and and now. What we can do, it is possible to, if we have a web shop, it is possible to bail out what kind of things people buy. So we have orders, we have invoices and so on. So we have this data. We can analyze it and then come out with idea, okay, this Mr. John actually loves very very strong pairs, and for some reason he is always buying these pairs, let's say 10 o'clock in the morning. So. We don't know if John has problems or not, but we know what he likes. So now, based on this, what we can do? We can come out with a scoring profile. We can add here a scoring profile. We can say that okay, we want to use this tags field for scoring, and now we can make things work the way that based on alcohol content we are just putting beer to different groups. So we can say that, let's say group 0 to 3 is a very light pair, 3 till 5 is light pair and so on. So now for our John we need of course a category called very strong. So and here you can now see how this is done. We specify this scoring profile when searching, and here we say that this alcohol parameter must have value very strong. So it doesn't leave out lighter pairs, of course, but it is just pushing those stronger ones up. So if John is searching, he's logged in, and John is searching, then John in first results will John always see these very strong pairs. If John is moving, searching for something specific that is not part of a very strong pairs group, then John will still get results back from search, because these tags doesn't leave results out. They are not so tough condition. If we are using a simple primitive scoring profile, then this one is making matches or this boosting by match in full product description. There must be match between search term and this longer description. So and in this case those results are boosted up, other results are behind. So now okay, let's try to see if we have some term called peer in our search index. So I ran completely wrong thing. Okay, let's take this client base and let's have again breakpoint here, and then just let's see what is coming back from there. Okay, so let's visualize it. Okay, so here we have Rodenbach, Loosteri, Tubel, but there is not much ordering by alcohol content. So now let's go here. Okay, here is risk client. Okay, and now let's say that we are going with a different scoring profile, and we want to get back first those very strong pairs that John is still loving. Okay, let's take JSON visualizer. So now, as you can see, order is totally different. Search score for strong pair is pretty high. It's a good match. So here is one with a 6.5, but it gave also a good result. If I'm correct, then from 6, I start calling them very strong pairs. Yeah. So, Okay, now you saw how this tag boosting works. And okay, I told you, showed before a little bit those scoring profiles. I had here simple ones, but there are also other options you can do. You can also use scoring like freshness, magnitude, distance, and you can also use aggregation. So it allows you to build up more complex scoring profiles for your specific needs. So here, okay, if it is by default, it's you see first matching. Okay, so it means that the function does no aggregation. It just whatever is given, it just gives it back. But here you can also use different functions. It means that you have must have some fields you are using to calculate something. So okay, we have some minutes of time. Okay, now indexes. You can build those search index or fill indexes by using custom code. It's easy. You can also write manually JSON to fill the index. No problem. But it's possible that you are not interested in doing things like this. Perhaps you don't want to change existing systems. Perhaps you don't have access there, and people are not happy at all when somebody wants to modify what they currently have. So we can automate it by defining first a data source for index. I have here connection to same database that is behind this site. And when we have data source defined, then we can add new indexer. So actually, here I have a simple query in database that is returning data about products. And okay, let's see. Okay, and now this indexer, when run, it is just putting asking data from SQL database. The data can also be on yes, it can be also document DB or blob or table storage. Well, these last two options, blob and table storage, this is still experimental. It's not ready for daily use, but developers already can start playing with these sources. So now, when creating indexer, usually here you can see the search index that if you want to create a new one, and if you like, you can modify things there. So, but it works pretty automated way. So you can just make sure that if you are using some SQL Server view, that you have field names there, like you want they to appear in your search index. And then let's see if okay, once we have a index done, yes, we can't change it much. I try, let's see if so Oh, okay, it doesn't have, yeah, you can delete it away. Let's see if, oh, okay, indexer is gone now. Okay, here, if I say I want to import data, then I can select the data source. I say it's my product database. Now it is reading out what fields I have, so it is a great, it is practically grading me the index. I can I can change also field names if I like, add all the analyzers, suggestors here, and so on, and then I can go and say that, okay, create me now an indexer. So you can run indexer manually if you like, or it should work over API too. But you can also make the indexer work based on a schedule. You need some kind of row stamp, row version field in your data table or view. And then you can configure these options. So the indexing from this point on happens automatically by a schedule. And you have to do nothing additional. Just sit back and enjoy the show. Your index is refreshing automatically. Yeah?
If you rebuild the index, is the index still available or is it offline?
If you rebuild the index, you mean under rebuilding? Yes.
So you have an index running, the applications are using that index, and then you import, update, or new data.
It is, if we have row versions in use, then it is able to make so-called polite updates to index, yes. So it doesn't necessarily have to, delete everything and start from zero. Because it would also disrupt the functioning of our website, because some users suddenly they don't see any data. Suddenly there are 3 products, then 10 products, and so on. But if it is a big database, for example, then this kind of index filling it may take time. Let's say it can be also hours, perhaps. And then when it happens, let's say. In the middle of day, then I think it will affect infect also money flows that the company has. So okay, let's cancel. Now, before coming here, I discovered that there is a nice way now to have a. To have our search data or search service to be monitored, meaning that we get information about how our search is performing and how many operations are done there. So this is currently a pretty simple view. Actually, this monitoring stuff, once when it's put up, it starts saving data to blob storage. So, and from blob storage, we can use, by example, Power BI. So, I found no way how to make it in English, so you have to, in some parts of it, enjoy Estonian language. So, it's not so hard. So now, here I don't have much data, but this kind of this dashboard now on Power BI, it is simple to add. It is actually like a Power BI app. So you just have to tell it where is a blob storage, where search data is saved down. I mean analytic data. And from this point, this query is able to, or this app is able to build up all those charts and tell to Power BI where it can find these important files. So if you are using a free version of Power BI, then one a little bit annoying thing is this data doesn't refresh automatically, so you just have to click a refresh button. With paid versions, you can set up automatic update of dashboard, so then data is checked automatically by Power BI. Now, useful things here are, by example, those most popular keywords, and perhaps even more important is oh my god, how small it is. I don't know if it's possible to make it bigger, but okay. Actually, you can see here some keywords that gave zero results back. It's always possible that if you have big index, there are users who are trying to find something, but they don't find it because they are using perhaps some synonyms or something like this. So this report in nice way shows you what are they searching and how many searches they have made with zero results. These results here are also ordered by number of searches. So this is actually pretty good tool. This Power BI stuff, here I ran it as an application, the Windows 10 application. But there is also a website where it is running in your browser. And for Power BI, Microsoft also has mobile applications. So practically, if the functioning of search is important for you, then you can have it in your pocket too, if you're taking these mobile applications. So this is it by me. We're out from time. So if you like search topics very much, then you can visit my blog, by example, or be a real headache for organizers and tell them to ask me back next year with another search topic. Okay, thank you very much.